The reading today is taken from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 11, and it's on page 721 of the Pew Bibles. God's offer of mercy. The Lord says, "Come, everyone who is thirsty, here is water. Come, you that have no money, buy corn and eat. Come, buy wine and milk. It will cost you nothing. Why spend money on what does not satisfy? Why spend your wages and still be hungry? Listen to me and do what I say, and you will enjoy the best food of all. Listen now, my people, and come to me. Come to me, and you will have life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you and give you the blessings I promised to David. I made him a leader and commander of nations, and through him I showed them my power. Now you will summon foreign nations. At one time they did not know you, and now they will come running to join you. I, the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel, will make all this happen, and I will give you honor and glory. Turn to the Lord and pray to him now that he is near. Let the wicked leave their way of life and change their way of thinking. Let them turn to the Lord our God. He is merciful and quick to forgive. My thoughts, said the Lord, are not yours, and my ways are different from yours. As high as the heaven are above the earth, so high are my ways and thoughts above yours. My word is like the snow and the rain that comes down from the sky to water the earth. They make the crops grow and provide seed for sowing and food to eat. So also will be the word that I speak. It will not fail to do what I plan for it. It will do everything I send it to do. Amen.
I recently read a little story entitled A Matter of Perspective. Three preachers sat discussing the best positions for prayer while a telephone repairman worked nearby. Kneeling is the best, claimed one. No, another contended. I get the best results standing with my hands outstretched to heaven. You're both wrong, a third insisted. The most effective prayer position is lying prostrate, face down on the floor. The repairman could contain himself no longer. Hey, fellas, he interrupted. The best praying I ever did was hanging upside down from a telephone pole. Now, I'm going to use the perspective lines I put in the picture to help me put some houses in. Anytime you put buildings into a picture, it's a good idea to have perspective lines, which eventually go to a vanishing point. They make that vanishing point, in this case, wouldn't even be on the piece of paper where they join. There's going to be some houses on both sides of the picture, and I hope the perspective lines will help get them to look smaller and smaller. And while I do this, I'm going to... Tom's going to kindly put the CD on to play a Shatter Can Rust song, which reminds us from Psalm 5 that if we want to get things into perspective, we need to look up higher. What amazes me is how when you look in the distance, huge things appear really small. Does anyone know the diameter of the moon in miles? Oh, I thought you'd all know that. It's 2,159 miles in diameter. Sorry, I don't know it in modern parlance. Next time you look at the moon, just hold your thumb up and shut one eye. You can probably block it out. Neil Armstrong famously said,
it suddenly struck me that that tiny pea, pretty and blue, was the earth. I put up my thumb and shut one eye, and my thumb blotted out the planet Earth. I didn't feel like a giant. I felt very, very small. While I do some more work on the buildings, and if I have time, the road, I'm going to play you a song by Jonathan Vieira, I Believe I Can Fly. In a picture, you can see, if you get the perspective wrong, in our lives we don't always notice, and Jesus warned us about this in Luke 6, 41 and 42. He said, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but pay no attention to the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Please, brother, let me take that speck out of your eye,' yet cannot even see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Well, Jesus must have had a sense of humour, because I haven't seen anybody be able to get a plank in their eye, but we know what he was saying. So often the issue that concerns us seems really, really big, and in fact, it is actually very small. We may think we haven't got our own way in something which we wanted. We may think somebody snubbed us. We may be concerned about some issue in our life, but I'm comforted that Jesus doesn't only care about the big things, he cares about the little things, because he said, "Every hair on your head is numbered." So he cares about us in detail, which is one of the reasons we can safely leave things in his hands. Isn't that a sign of how great a God we've got, that he cares for the big things? He made the universe, he created huge things, even standing here, the size of this church, and how small you are. And yet God has made us, so he cares about us so much. Now, you might be beginning to realise that this is an attempt to do something on an Eastern-type village, a Capernaum in Bible times it's meant to be. So I'm going to now try and put some few more pieces in the jigsaw puzzle here to make it look a bit more realistic. Hopefully some people and some palm trees and things. I want to say a Gaelic blessing by Aled Jones. A bit more to do on that, but I'll try to catch up later. When we look at a situation, we don't necessarily judge what is going on correctly. I remember when I was on an office visit, I was standing in this road and I saw this car coming down the hill, and I looked at it and thought, "Oh, no, there's no driver." And then I realised that it was a left-hand drive car, and it was such a relief. And I recently heard a true story about a man named Josh. He was driving in Chicago in a very posh new car. As he was driving along from one appointment to another, he heard a brick hit the side of his car. He was furious. When he stopped the car, got out, and there was this young boy standing there, and he said, "What did you do throwing a brick at my car?" He grabbed him by the neck. The young boy started to cry. "Sorry, mister." The man continued, "Why did you throw that brick?" "I hadn't got any other way of getting your attention. My brother has just collapsed." Josh's attitude changed. He decided never to get the dent fixed, but to choose to remember this young boy that had needed his attention. So we sometimes get things a bit wrong. Well, put some more people in our picture and play you a song by Stuart Townend, There Is Grace For Me. Really in perspective, this man at this end. So I'm going to make him a bit bigger. Here we have a scene. We'll remind you. When four friends remembered that Jesus, or knew about Jesus, could heal people. So they brought their friend on a stretcher to that little house over there. But when they got there, there were all those people inside and people outside. There's no way they were going to be able to get in that house. Can you imagine how they felt as they stood in the road looking at that house? They'd come all that way. They'd probably had to persuade him to get on the mat in the first place. Bad enough when you go to the hospital and there's a long queue. But going there, and there was Jesus in that house, and they believed Jesus was going to be able to heal that man. But then one of them saw things from a fresh perspective. He noticed at the side of the house there were some stairs, and he said to his friends, let's take our friend up the stairs. Now, situations desperate to us. We need to see the perspective. We need to see Jesus is able to change those circumstances, and that he is going to provide the way to sort things out.
You may have a friend this morning worried
about. You can be like one of those four friends. You can bring them to Jesus. And you can know that he is able to do
much more than
you even believe sometimes. Then when they got into the house, there was another surprise. They let the man down through the roof. Nobody in the house. Very surprised. Somebody came through the roof. Because they thought Jesus was going to heal their friend. Just. But what does Jesus say? He says, your sins are forgiven. Jesus could see something in that man, depth of need in that man, so that his sins needed to be forgiven first. And then all the people were really cross, really. Well, the leaders anyway, fancy him saying he can forgive sins. He can't do that. So Jesus says, of course, is it easier to say forgive sins, or is it easier to say get up, pick up your mat and walk? So in order that you know that I can forgive sins, he said to the man, stand up, pick up your mat and go home. The people were amazed, as I would have been, and the people praised God. Sometimes these stories that we read in the Bible, we get used to them. I do anyway. And you've told them to many Sunday school classes, and you've heard them year on year on year. Almost, there's a danger that they become slightly unreal. You know, if this had happened outside in one of our houses, we'd be rushing around meeting everybody. But this happened in Capernaum, in a real place with real people, and they thought it was significant enough to bother to write so that we would know. And we can be as amazed as they were that Jesus was able not only to forgive sins but also to heal this man. I'm sure God's always trying to get us to see things from a new perspective. Isaiah 55 verse 9, he says, "For just as the heavens are higher than so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I'll say that once again. "For just as the heavens are higher than the earth," which is quite a long way, isn't it? "So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So try now to just imagine how that man felt as he came out. Sorry, I can't change all the picture. But as the man came out, forgiven and healed, imagine how he must feel. I want to just see if I can make any improvements to the picture. We're going to listen to a song that I love by not very well-known person, Shattuck and Rust, which I think expresses how the man probably felt. One day, our perspective will change again as we realise the truth of what St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. "For now, we see in a dark room, but then face to face. Now, I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I also am fully known."